This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته my dear brothers and sisters of Islam. It's a pleasure to be back again in Calgary. It was actually a beautiful feeling as you descend with the plane and you see the beauty of the mountains and you remember the good old days and certainly a beautiful community with the generous people and certainly it reminds me of the good old times. So JazakAllah khairan for inviting this poor slave of Allah back here to share a few words with you. In a few minutes that I have with you, we'll talk about building a community and relations, of course. So let us go back in time again with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam declared that the best of generation is his, and how we build the community is we are going to remodel our community accordingly, inshallah. However, we have to build a bridge from the past to the present for a fruitful future. We have to connect how they lived in the best community and how it was built. How do you actually implement this right here in Calgary 2012? Difficult task, but it's attainable only if you listen with your hearts and make sure that ego goes out the door. Or as you know, when you come into a masjid, when you take off your shoes, that's where it belongs. It belongs where the shoes, which stays outside. When you come into a community, as we call it, a community of Islam, we should have something in mind before we even get into this topic. Al-maslaha al-amma muqaddama al-maslaha al-khassa, meaning the good of all precedes the good of one. So if we are going to talk about a community, one word goes out the door, another comes in. The word I has to stay outside that door. The word we stays in. It is no longer I, it is we or ours. What's good for all is good for us. The building of the community, if you notice when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to build the community, and I will let you know later inshallah, how even the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in started building the communities. So we can start the foundation, because a shaky foundation, you cannot build upon. You have to have a strong foundation, deep-rooted foundation, in order for you to build upon it. And what was the example that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us as a community? What did Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula mention in the Quran? And what is that community? What differentiates us? What makes us different than any other community or any other ism? Let us go back in time where Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had migrated. And the honor of the migration is above all. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, at the time he wanted to put a calendar and link it to something that we can distinguish ourselves from any other ummah, any other community. So they started to talk about the birth of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the ba'tha, the messengerhood, or receiving the revelation, meaning, or the death of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the migration. They said that birth and the messengerhood, the revelation, receiving of it, is debatable. So it's not concrete. Stay away from it. The death of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it has a connotation of sadness. We do not want to be reminded of that. And when you know that even Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, when he was asked, how do you deal with calamities? How do you have patience over this? He says, I go for remedies. The first remedy, he says, أَنَّهَا لَمْ تَكُنْ فِي دِينِي. The way I handle calamities, it is not in my religion. I still say, لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. الحمد لله. The second thing, it could have been worse. And the third, he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Indeed, the patient ones will attain heaven with no punishment, no accountability. And He says the last one, I remember the calamities of the loss of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nothing was worse than that. Nothing was worse than losing Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the migration was chosen. What a different turn of event that turned the ummah around. That's why we're going there. And he started building the community right there and then. What was the first thing that he actually tried to do? When he went to Medina, Jazakallah khairan, the brother is raising his hand. May Allah bless you, inshallah. I usually do have candy to give people when they answer the questions, but at this point I'm going to hold back. But may Allah reward you. How old are you, akhi? 9, mashallah, 9 years old. What's your name?
10.
Ibrahim, mashallah. Ibrahim, 10 years old, raises his hand, is mashallah. May Allah increase your knowledge, akhi, and accept from you, ameen. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to build a community. By the way, the scholars will tell you that Medina was the bedrock of Islam, the beginning of the ummah in itself, the beginning of the community, building the blocks, as we will talk about the blocks that put this ummah together. The first thing he established was what? The masjid. The first thing he established was the masjid. Why do you think the masjid was the first thing that he established? It's a long list of things. To establish and raise the banner of Islam. To establish the being of Islam. To establish a place you run to in aid, meaning the masjid. As you run, believe it or not, that scholars will tell you the word As a child runs to the as Muslims runs to the ummah. So that the masjid was the cornerstone of the ummah. Going back to Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anh. Do you understand when Umar radiallahu anh, when he started a new city, what did he do? He actually stayed in the center. He took arrows and he put it 360s right around. He made sure these arrows were the marking of what? The boundaries of the city. Where do you think he was staying? Where was he standing at the time? The place of the future location of a masjid. Do you understand now the core of the ummah is that food for the spirit. Where you find yourself. Fiha rijal. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this but, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is raised by His permission. And in it you'll find whom? Males? No. He said men. He said rijal. Rijal that will carry this ummah forward. That's the bedrock of our community. As if you notice, and I will talk about this a bit more later inshallah in details. If you notice that that's the first thing he did, and find out that everything was there. Even planning for wars were there. Celebrations were there. Occasions were there. So the bedrock, akhi and ukhti, is find out who you are. Your identity as a Muslim is there. As a masjid is the bedrock of this community. So you should be asking yourself at this point, what kind of community do you live in? How strong and the relationship you have with the core of the ummah and the community which is the masjid? What was it built upon? Was it built upon fancy marble? No. It was built upon sweat and tears of sincerity. Jazakallah khairan. The Shaykh before, he talked about it. It was built by iman. It was built by character. It was built by brotherhood, which is number 2 on your list. The second thing Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to build the community after establishing the masjid was al-mu'akha. The brotherhood. As you know that strong stories, as even Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was with Ali radiallahu anhu, and so on. What? The one that is most famous was Abdurrahman ibn Auf and Sa'd radiallahu anhuma. This migration, by the way, brothers and sisters, يشهد التاريخ. History will testify that there is no other migration on the face of the earth that had no bloodshed, no taking of others' right illegally, immorally, unjustifiably, unlawfully, or anything else. On the contrary, this migration was the exact opposite of that. This mu'akha the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to establish. Because if you build bricks, it'll no good, it'll do you no good in the future if you have no one to have to run it after it. It's just a building, four walls. It will do you no good. But the people are running it. It was Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he started to put the brotherhood together. Mu'akha. Look at the beauty of Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu an and Sa'd radiallahu an. When he said, I will give you half my house. I will give you half my wealth. I will give you half my business. I will give you half my wife. You can't have a half a wife. They're not 50% up. But he did say, and you understand that even our teachers tell us that Arabs are extremely jealous when it comes to women. Their wives, off limits. He says, even then. He says, which one? After her iddah, you can marry. Before you jump to conclusions, our teachers actually, when they look into the hadith, they explain that those who Sa'd talking to Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu, these are the best of the best. He was not going to accept, as you will see. And it's not a degrading of women by all means. It's honoring them. As you will notice, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to put the foundation and also mend the hearts. In essence, he led by example. But you will notice how Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu an accepted the offer. Most of us would be doing what? Says, sure, I'll take it, easy money. Could you imagine yourself being in that place, in that time? You've left everything behind. You've left your house behind. You've left your bank account behind. All your worldly possession is behind. You've got with nothing except the clothes on your back. And somebody gives you a lending hand. He says, half everything of that, half of what I have. Please take it. Can you imagine? What would you do? Don't answer yet. Let's just imagine for a bit. Can you imagine? What would you say? Honey, let's move uptown. Let's go to Red Lobster. We can actually eat that food now that we watch on TV. But this is not just anything. If you have $100,000, could you give up $50,000? Amazing. And that's the spirit. But when the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, even ajma'in, when they came in and they wanted to give them, share the wealth with them, they would come up with the palm or the dates, the fruit they acquired. They would actually want to give them the best. So they're, not to embarrass them, they would split it. One good, one not that good. And leave that room. Which one would you take if somebody gives you and leaves the room? You're not embarrassed anymore, he's not there. When the Sahaba came back, they saw that the Ansar have left a good for the Muhajirin to take, but the Muhajirin took the lesser of value and left a good one for the Ansar. And that was the essence of it. So what do you learn from this lesson? It's called Ithar. Khuluq qad indathar. This moral conduct and behavior has perished, vanished. Selflessness. That I want to give you what I want more. Whatever I have, whatever part is better, I give you. And I take the lesser. And that was the spirit that the ummah was built upon. The sacrifice. And you'll know that the hadith when he said the 10 were in the army. They were all injured. They all in need of water. When the first water came to the first man, is given to my brother. When the second one was given the water, he says, give it to my brother, he needs it more. Give it to my brother, he needs it more. Till they got to the last one, he says, give it to the first one. But when they got to the first one, he was dead. Second one was dead, and so on. But you can understand, when you get goosebumps, when you hear these beautiful stories, it's not a sacrifice, akhi and ukhti. It is not a sacrifice. Sheikh Yawar Beg, hafidhahullah, taught us that we do not sacrifice, but we invest. It's an investment in the hereafter. So we started building the bricks of the masjid. What makes it or breaks it, those who come in it. So first we have to purify this heart as a motor in your heart, in your body. What makes it tick? So what kind of motor do we have inside our masajid? What kind of hearts do we have inside the community? Which one is qalb salim, inshallah, a serene heart? When we come into the masjid, how do we do it, akhi and ukhti? Do you come in thinking that you're the best thing in this masjid? Do you come in and say, moi, stand next to you? Sauvage, passe, get out of here. What are you talking about? It's not befitting for me to stand next to you. So what kind of hearts? How did they actually do it? How did they deal with one another? What was the essence of the message? Why were the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'een the best of generation? According to hadith, when Prophet Muhammad s.a.w. says, khayrul qurun qarni, the best of generation is mine. The best of generation is mine. Why? Because they graduated from the best school. Who was the principal of that school? None other than Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So all we have to do is follow the footsteps in order for us to have a strong community, to revive that spirit and follow the footsteps as the tabi'een used to cry. The tabi'een used to cry, why? They said that the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'een beat us on race horses and we're following them on crippled mules. So they said, "Man sara ala darbi wasal." If you follow the footsteps, you will reach him. So what's our goal? To reach them, inshallah, in heaven. Look at in the masjid, as you can imagine, and now the Sahaba. There were some of the community that were special. They were called Ahl al-Suffa. So you understand when you build the community, what are the infrastructure of this community to build it upon the basis of Islam. So you've built the infrastructure. You've built the masjid. Now you have to build the human beings. It's easy for us to build the infrastructure. It's easy for us to build high-rises. Very difficult to build the human being. That's why a mother is raised 3 times higher than a father. And as a matter of fact, the man is not called a husband. Actually, he's called a zawj. Woman is called imra'ah. Woman. But when she becomes a mother, she becomes zawj, spouse, because of the honor. As a matter of fact, you're not called a father or a mother till you have a child. So now, what did raise them? The raising is what was in their heart. Ahl al-Suffa, the people of the platform. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at him and looked after them personally. You know who were Ahl al-Suffa? Anybody knows who Ahl al-Suffa were? What does Ahl al-Suffa mean? Okay, who's Justin Bieber? Now you know. I get the guy. Even guys know the guy. I mean, the sisters are going, is this a trick question? Can I raise my hand now on this one? Okay, Ahl al-Suffa was that. Poor among the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in. But look at the continuity of building the infrastructure of the community. So when you build the brick wall, you have to build what's inside. According to Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahmatullahi alayhi, islahun dhat al-bayn, reconcile the differences. It's not mending the hearts between the two. He says it's islahun dhat al-bayn. Reconcile and fix what you have inside of you. Between the two walls you have in your own body. Meaning your rib cage. What kind of heart? That's he says, islahun dhat al-bayn. what you hold between you. It's your heart. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led by example, and he kept Ahlul Sufa right under his supervision. Why? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the basic needs of a community in order for you to live, says, khawf and jua, hunger and fear. الَّذِي أَطْعَمَهُمْ مِنْ جُوعٍ وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about it, He says that two down payments in order for you to have a stable community is no one should go hungry. They should at least fear that they can survive. They're not missing. They're not doing everything just to stay alive. And alleviate the fear factor. Fear factor of what? Equality, favoritism, any other ism. No one is above the law. Everyone is equal. When you go back and look into the Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the bedrock again in building a community, in building an ummah, He declared it over 1400 years ago. Ya ayyuhan nas, إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا إِنَّا أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. O mankind, O human beings, who made you in, from a male and a female, Adam and Eve, and made you into nations and tribes, so you may know one another. Indeed, the noblest in the sight of Allah, which one? Tallest, darkest, whitest, richest. Guy that benches 300. No, he says the best in the sight of Allah, the one that has taqwa. None other than Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us how to attain taqwa. So when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at the people of the Suffa, Ahlul Suffa, he wanted to keep them close, so he put that right across against the wall of the Masjid al-Nabawi. So he wanted to keep them under His nose, wanted to make sure that they looked after. And that's a community. How much did they love Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Meaning what? How to build the leadership that people love and rally around. You have to lead by example. When Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam put the shoulder to the wheel, when he led by example to follow, everybody loved him. Everybody rallied around him. Hence, you have a strong foundation. You have a vision. You have some rules and regulations. No favoritism. Equality is there. So where do you go? From here, only upwards. So let us talk about some of the illness of the community and give you the cure, inshallah, and hopefully we'll take you home from there. Why do you think some communities break? Lack of vision, lack of leadership, hidden agendas, I comes back in, we goes back out, favoritism come back in, and unfortunately, tribalism comes in. That's why I quoted that verse from the Quran. When Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula wanted to keep these things away, the illnesses of the heart that breaks a community, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed it. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed it. Inna sunnah. So what do we have? Do you have something in Calgary that's called tribalism? Do we have anyone above the law? If you differ upon anything, where do you go back? Where do you fall upon? Do you have an existing infrastructure that you can build upon? And what is your aqidah? What is the foundation? If you tanaza, if you takhtilaf, anything you differ upon, where do you go? Farudduh, give back to where? Allah wa Rasul. Go back to Allah and His Messenger, meaning Quran and Sunnah. So do we follow Quran and Sunnah if we differ upon something? Or do we go back in culture? Have we differed between culture and religion? Do we know the difference? Do you understand that when people leave Islam, those new Muslims, they tell you, I've left Islam for There is a website, by the way, for specifically for people who leave Islam. And when you go on that website, you'll find out why they left Islam. You'll find out that everyone there that tells you comments why I left Islam is all culture, 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 culture. Not religion. Religion is innocent of that. Let us find out how Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed it. Go back in history, you'll find out the best of creation by leading by example, showing us how. When a man from the Ansar drew his sword and he calls out, Ya ma'shar al-Ansar, meaning come in my aid, O people of the Ansar, come in my aid. And then the other one drew his sword and says, Ya ma'shar al-Muhajireen, O people of the migrated one, the one that migrated Muhajireen, meaning from Mecca, now going against Medina. 911 call went to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rushed to the scene. What did he say? Shame on you. Don't do that again. Go to your room. I'll give you a time out. Did dikukha. All that stuff. La wallahi. He says, "Afa bid'awati al-jahiliyya wa ana bayna dhahranikum?" You're using the call of the pre-Islamic era, the ignorant era. And I'm still between you. I'm still here. I am existing amongst you. I have not left yet. I am with you. Did he stop there? No. He says, دعوها إنها منتنة. Leave it. It is a stinking, rotten aroma of an issue that you deal with. Even though the scholars will tell you that the Muhajirin wal Ansar are a shar'i terminology of ascribing people, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned them. In the Quran, we're honored to be related to them. But when it's used in a negative connotation, then we have a problem. Do you understand now? When people pray in a different masjid, or behind a different imam, or even when they go to that prison, they will have different jama'ah. Allahu Akbar. Let me give you an example to wake us up a bit. Yes, we have different fiqh issues. No problems. I'm not going to talk about the adab, ikhtilaf and all that. I'm just giving you something to remind ourselves. You know, we differ upon certain issues. Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in differed upon certain issues. And I'll give you the proof, inshallah. In the masjid, what do? We look to one another like a wolf looking at the sheep. Where does he put his hand? Below his nail? Oh, Hanafi. Oh, Shafi'i. Oh, Hanbali. Maliki. Come a little closer, man. Akhi. Smack you upside the head. What matters does it make? Is it really, do you understand that all the ahadith are da'if? Did you know that? All the ahadith are da'if where you place your hand. All. There's only one authentic hadith here that you put your right over your left. The strongest among the weakest is you put it closer to your chest. That's the strongest among the weakest. And we fight, of course, on certain issues. I'm not going to go into the details, but you understand. Where you touch your head when you make wudu, is it just the top all the way, or the top all the way back, or do you go back on out on the way so you can catch the whole thing? So we fight on which part of our head to touch when we make wudu. Our enemy is united to cut off our heads. And we're still fighting on which part we fight on touch our heads. Do you understand when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that you are a part, and by the blessing of Allah, He's got you together. Kuntum ala shafa hufra. You are on the edge of a pit of fire. And He united you. How? With money I can buy you, your love? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed that too. He says you cannot buy them. How did you do it? by the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula. وَلَوْ أَنْفَقْتَ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. If you spend the wealth upon the earth, مَا أَلَّفْتَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ أَلَّفَ بَيْنَهُمْ. If you spend all the wealth on the wealth in the face of the earth, you will not have combined their hearts together. It is by the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula that we love each other for the sake of Allah. You understand when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes, tell him, I love you for the sake of Allah. أُحِبُّكَ فِي اللَّهِ. I love you for the sake of Allah. But the brothers tell the brothers and the sisters tell the sisters, you understand? So the brothers don't go and sister, أُحِبُّكِ فِي اللَّهِ. Don't do that. Man. But you understand the bond, how Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to make this bond strong. So he put the infrastructure and he made the mu'akha and he looked after the suffa and the rules and regulation is there that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put this ummah together. No difference بين عربي على أعجمي إلا بالتقوى. Same down payment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used. No difference between an Arab and a non-Arab. Except with what? Taqwa, piety. If you go back to Surah Al-Hujurat, you'll understand that what I just explained, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the same measuring stick. The noblest amongst you, the one that has taqwa, same. Taqwa, piety. That's how you attain it, akhi and ukhti. So when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam came back and looked into that scene where they wanted to fight, Allahu Akbar, he put that to bed right away. Let us go back to something that is tangible. How do we deal with one another to stay united even though we're different? We have a common goal, you understand. Let us go back to Ghazwat al-Khandaq. The battle of the trench. It's a long story. Just come to the end. Cut to the chase. And you'll find out that the battle was won by the blessing of Allah by one soldier. Who's that? Who can tell me the soldier that we won this battle by? Salman al-Farisi, mashallah. Salman al-Farisi, radiallahu anh, was the one that actually came up with the idea. But it's a tricky question. Yes, Ukhti. Which one? Khalid al-Walid, Saifullah al-Maslul. Very good. It's a good answer. Smart answer. Habibi. The wind. Where's that candy? I'm recycling. You know, here. Just take a lick and pass it around. Okay? Just imagine. Due to budget cuts. Can't afford. But here, candy is right here. Okay? Good for you. It's Air Canada special. You know, we have right here. The wind. After the battle was over, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taking the armors of war off. Jibreel alayhi salam descends. He goes, you're taking the armors of war off? He says, yes, battle's over. He says, but the angels have not taken the arms of war off. He says, whom? He says, Bani Qurayza. They've broken the treaty. They put us all in trouble. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam puts the armors of war off again. And he goes out to declare the statement. مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلَا يُصَلِّيَنَّ الْعَصْرَ إِلَّا فِي بَنِي قُرَيْضَ. If you believe in Allah and the last day, do not pray Asr except unless you reach the tribe of Bani Qurayza. On the way over, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een differed. And let me explain a little further. Was this hadith, did it have a an'ana? An fulan ibn fulan, an fulan ibn fulan, an fulan ibn fulan? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them. Was there a sanad? No. It's direct order from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the sahaba, declared. He says, if you believe in Allah and the last day, don't pray Asr unless you reach Bani Qurayza. On the way over, the army is going to Bani Qurayza. Some of the Sahaba said, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that because he wanted to rush in haste. So, but he did not mean for us to miss the Asr prayer because the time is coming off. And the Quran says, "Inna salata kanat al mu'minina kitaban maquta." Indeed, the time is allotted for prayers. There's a certain window. So they prayed on the way. They did not want to miss the salah, the prayer. The other companions, radiallahu anhum ajma'een, they took that literally, ahl al-zahir. لا تأويل, no interpretation. They said Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم gave us a command, we follow. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهُ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولُ. I mean too many verses. Obey the Allah, obey Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Whatever he gives you, listen to. Whatever he deprives you, denies you, stay away from it. Omit. So they stayed, followed the command, even though they missed the time allotted for Asr. So they prayed Asr in Bani Qurayza. When Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard about both of them, what did he do? Do you remember? What did he do? Did he divide and conquer? No. As a smart leader, the head of the community has to be able to deal with every category. Reconcile these hearts. Look after the poor before the rich. No ism is out. No favoritism. No color. No gender. No race. Nothing. You are a Muslim first. We have that in common. We have La ilaha illallah is a banner that we raise. We have one direction of a qibla. One Allah that we worship. One Quran that we follow. One Rasul that we follow. One goal that we have. No differences. You are my brothers and sisters in Islam because you say, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. I love you for the sake of Allah because of that. So when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met with them, he aqarra hadha wa aqarra hadha. He accepted their ijtihad to do the right thing from one side, and he accepted the other side similarly. But the beauty about it, that he did not stop there. Nor the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een did anything about it. In the last minute I have, we'll seal it inshallah. The Sahaba did not actually quarrel among one another. They did not say, I was closer to what he said. How could you do that? Shame on you. Nor that the other side said, no, you were wrong, we were right. Nor the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam ever went back and talked about it. Do you understand? So if we find something that is going to divide us, we leave it. If you've done your best to follow the Quran and Sunnah, barakallahu feek, jazakallahu khayran. But anything that divides the community is out. Because we have that common goal. We have the banner. We have the infrastructure. And there's so much more that I wanted to share with you, but we just don't have enough time. Hopefully later on tonight, inshallah, I will be talking about families and relationships, and I will implement that, inshallah. But I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reconcile our differences, mend our hearts, unite this ummah to be one ummah, inshallah, as you see behind me. One day we will get it, inshallah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula to make us among those who listen to speech and follow the best of it. Wa akhir da'wah alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallam ala alihi wa sahbihi wa tabi'een. Jazakumullah khairan wa assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.